And there's no difference between Islam and Christianity or Hinduism or any other religion where that is concerned. Religion wants to control or influence every aspect of our lives. And true religion is something that would liberate us from consumerism. True religion will liberate us from being manipulated by others. And the powers that be do not want us to be truly religious. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, said, إِذَا أُمَّتِي تَوَاكَلَتَ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ فَلَا تَأْذَن بِالْوِقَاءِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He says, the time when my ummah merely counts on others to enjoin right and forbid the wrong, in fact, they would have declared war on Allah the Exalted. When my ummah merely counts on others to do so. Again, we go back to the whole idea of fardh kifaya. If you see there's a lack in your community, you have to try to fill it. You don't look and wait for somebody else to fill it. Indeed, when somebody else fills it, yes, you might be relieved of that responsibility at that time, in that place, but not forever. When you're waiting for somebody else to do something for you, you are shirking your responsibility. And again, this is a major characteristic among those Muslims who do not have a sense of self-empowerment. Those Muslims who in fact are hypocrites to Islam. And while claiming to be Muslims, look to the West to help them to, quote unquote, reform their societies. A very good case and tragic case in point is the case of Iraq, where the Muslims in Iraq welcomed the American, the combined American Western invasion of Iraq in order to relieve themselves of a tyrant. They did not rely upon themselves to do so. The result being, what? That their situation today is worse than when they had sat down. It's worse than when they had sat down. They are faced with the dismemberment of their society, with genocidal attacks, many of which have been perpetrated by the very invaders themselves. The time will come when the Ummah will be counted upon others to do what they should be doing. The Holy Prophet said they have declared war on Allah. Why war? Why would, when you depend upon others to enjoin the right and forbid the wrong, you declare war upon Allah? First and foremost, because you are disobeying His command. Allah has commanded us to act in this particular manner. And we, instead of doing so, are looking to somebody else to do this action on our behalf. I want to say somebody else, others. It is clear from the text that others mean non-Muslims. When my ummah comes upon others, well, others mean outside the ummah on one level. And within the ummah, it means not depending upon yourself as an individual, then you're in trouble. You are actually shirking the responsibility. Because the goal of the Muslim, the destiny of the Muslim, is the one by which he witnesses to the rest of the world. Islam is the last religion revealed to mankind. And therefore, it is still intact. Whereas the other religions are old and are dying out, this religion of Islam is still alive and still fresh. Whereas the old religions could not foresee the situations, the new situations that human beings would be getting themselves into, this religion can. And no other religion is more suited for rectifying mankind than Islam. There are cases in point, for example, where the Islamic Revolution in Iran, for example, was directly responsible for Christians becoming much more assertive in their religion. There were a lot of news articles during the revolution that were talking about that. That Christians, when they looked at Muslims and they saw the Muslims establishing an Islamic state and trying to live according to the religion, Christians would say, well, why can't we? This was the role Islam had. No other could play that role besides us. So when we shirk this particular important task, we are actually betraying Islam. We are actually undermining Islam. And if we undermine Islam, or if we try to undermine Islam, we are actually going against Allah himself. The other thing is that when we rely upon others to do what is right and forbid what is wrong, we are really assuming that we are weak. We are assuming that we are weak. And when we assume that we are weak, it means that we will fail. You never go into a competition. You never go into a test by assuming that you are deficient. Whenever you do so, you will lose. There's a psychological reality about this. And when you want to delegate or wait for others to do what you should be doing, it means that you think that you are weak. There are many news reports about, for example, somebody being attacked on the street in broad daylight in some of these big cities, and everybody stands around and looks. Why? Because they're waiting for somebody else to do something. In modern society, whenever you're confronted with a problem, you always say, one day we hope that they will take care of this. I hope one day they'll find a cure for cancer. I hope one day they'll create a better school for children. I hope one day they and they and they. Who's they? You know who that is? They is that power cadre, that clique that is manipulating society. That's what they is. They is that whole cultural system that replaces God with man. That's what they means. And so you stand around and you watch a problem in society and you feel powerless because they are designing the system in such a way for you to feel powerless. That you can do nothing. You just have to obey and be patient until they find a way for you. Well, this is not within the Islamic scope at all. And Imam Hussein is showing this to us. At all, the Muslim personality, the true Muslim personality, is the personality of a shaheed. That when you see something wrong, you correct it. And in the process of correcting it, you may suffer. You may lose something, but that loss is really a gain, because that loss is what makes the fundamental basis for change in society. When you look at society, its progress, all societal progress is based upon sacrifice. All societal progress is based upon sacrifice. And a Muslim is such A person who accepts sacrifice in order to change the world. And if we can't accept sacrifice, we can't change nothing. What the Bible was saying, showed us, is that you shouldn't be afraid of losing your life. And for many of us, some of us, you know, we think that, well, you know, losing our lives is okay, but I can't watch my children die. I can't watch my children die. Well, he showed you. You can watch your children die in the path of Allah, in the path of his law of rectifying society. And the higher the price you pay, the deeper the influence you have upon society. They don't know that, for example, technology is not something value-free. Western society would like to make us believe that technology and Western value systems are value-free and is something that should be applied to all societies. When we look at the history of mankind, when we look at the history of the spread of colonialism, for example, we see that one of the most important initial tasks of colonialism was first to weaken the spiritual strength of the people by undermining their religion through sending missionaries. Secondly, to destroy the ulama, the scientists, and the religious thinkers. Destroy the technology. Look at what the Spaniards did to the Aztec Empire and the Inca Empire. Look at what they did to Muslim societies when they got into Egypt and Persia and all these places. What would they do? They would steal their books and take it back to their museums, depriving the people of their knowledge and technology. Before the spread of colonialism, there wasn't one technology. There were technologies. And all of them were related positively to the environment. Because what is technology? Technology is the application of one's scientific knowledge in accordance with one's value system and environment. This is technology.